Have you ever doubled down on a failing relationship because we've invested so much time already? Or kept pouring money into a money pit car because I've already spent thousands fixing it? These seemingly innocent self-justifications reveal a powerful psychological mechanism affecting everyone from ordinary citizens to presidents. Since its 2007 publication, Mistakes Were Made, But Not By Me, has become a cultural touchstone, referenced everywhere from the New York Times to HBO's Succession. Its enduring appeal lies in an uncomfortable truth: we all twist reality to protect our egos. Understanding this tendency is the first step toward making better decisions, improving relationships, and perhaps even healing societal divides. When doomsday prophet Dorothy Martin's prediction failed in 1954, instead of admitting error, she claimed her group's faith had saved the world. Social psychologist Leon Festinger predicted this response based on his theory of cognitive dissonance, the mental discomfort we experience when holding contradictory beliefs. This dissonance creates psychological pain we try to reduce. Smokers rationalize health risks. My uncle smoked 2 packs daily and lived to 90. Students who cheat think everyone does it. These aren't conscious lies, but unconscious self-justifications protecting our self-image. After making decisions, particularly difficult ones, we support our choice while dismissing alternatives. When Nick impulsively bought an expensive Mercedes, he began criticizing friends' cars while emphasizing his car's safety features. Studies show bettors become significantly more confident immediately after placing bets, not because odds improved, but because they need to justify their wagers. When facing moral choices, we follow a pyramid-like process where individuals making slightly different initial decisions gradually diverge into reaching opposite moral positions. Two identical students confronting the choice to cheat, one choosing honesty, the other cheating just this once, will develop dramatically different moral frameworks over time. This pattern explains how decent people commit unethical acts through incremental steps. Jeb Stuart Magruder's involvement in Watergate began with minor ethical compromises that seemed reasonable before escalating to criminal conspiracy. Similarly, in Milgram's obedience experiments, participants gradually increased the voltage of supposed electric shocks, losing sight of ethical boundaries with each small increment. The corruption of medical professionals further illustrates this concept. After the 1980 Supreme Court decision allowing patenting of living organisms, academic medicine shifted from public benefit toward private profit. Physicians justify accepting pharmaceutical company gifts, from branded pens to speaking fees, while research shows they're actually more influenced by small gifts than large ones, a principle well understood by marketing professionals. In 2004, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia refused to recuse himself from a case involving Vice President Cheney, despite having gone duck hunting with him during the pending case. When criticized, Scalia insisted his impartiality couldn't be questioned, perfectly illustrating how we easily spot others' biases while remaining oblivious to our own. Our minds naturally process information in categories, essentially stereotypes, that serve as mental shortcuts but flatten within group differences while exaggerating between group differences. This categorization begins early. By age 3, children already show preferences for their own group, whether defined by language, accent, or appearance. Unlike stereotypes that can be updated with new information, true prejudice actively resists contradictory evidence. When shown that crime rates among immigrants are lower than natives, prejudiced people pivot to job-taking concerns, then to cultural arguments when that's disproven. Jeffrey Sherman's research shows prejudiced people pay more attention to inconsistent information, not to learn, but to determine how to dismiss it. Our best defense against self-deception is surrounding ourselves with trusted critics willing to challenge our self-justifications, as Lincoln did with his team of rivals. Diverse teams make better decisions precisely because they challenge each other's assumptions and blind spots. Memory functions as our personal historian with a bias towards self-justification, filtering out threatening information while enhancing flattering narratives. Like a totalitarian regime revising history, our totalitarian ego rewrites personal stories to justify our actions. Memory isn't a faithful recording, but a reconstructive process. We remember selective highlights and integrate them with outside information into coherent narratives that feel authentic despite containing fabricated elements. False memories can feel emotionally genuine. Benjamin Wilkomirski's acclaimed Holocaust memoir, Fragments, demonstrates this phenomenon. The author, actually Bruno Grosjean, a Swiss musician with no Jewish ancestry or concentration camp experience, transformed himself through self-persuasion rather than calculated deception, genuinely believing his fabricated memories. Research shows that repeatedly imagining events increases confidence they occurred, eventually creating detailed false memories with sensory components. The more Wilkomirski wrote about his memories, the more real they became, reinforced by validation from his therapist and friends as he transformed from obscurity to significance. The 1980s and 1990s witnessed moral panics around recovered memories and multiple personality disorder, MPD. Adults with no prior trauma history suddenly remembered being molested or tortured in satanic cults after therapy. Following the 1973 publication of Civil and the APA's recognition of MPD in 1980, cases exploded from rare occurrences to thousands of patients manifesting dozens of alters. A parallel panic targeted daycare centers, beginning with the 1983 McMartin preschool case where teachers faced accusations of satanic abuse. Though no conviction resulted, similar accusations spread nationwide. Children told increasingly implausible stories of robots, clowns, and public torture, yet mental health professionals validated these accounts. Therapy's private nature creates a closed feedback loop. Client improvement validates the therapist's methods. Deterioration indicates resistance. The recovered memory movement shows how therapists' confirmation bias led to harmful practices. When patients denied abuse, therapists interpreted this as evidence of repression, justifying more aggressive memory recovery techniques. Research shows children's high suggestibility. When researchers used McMartin-style interview techniques, most young children agreed with false allegations after minimal questioning, with these fabricated statements quickly solidifying into stable but entirely false memories. When people take genuine responsibility for mistakes, whether partners, employers, or public figures, they earn respect rather than losing it. Studies show responsibility, accepting apologies, lead to more positive evaluations and forgiveness. Kennedy's popularity soared after taking full responsibility for the Bay of Pigs failure. In healthcare, patients are less likely to sue when physicians admit mistakes and implement preventative changes. Admitting fallibility builds trust. Patients forgive errors of the head, but rarely those of the heart. Organizations that reward admission of mistakes thrive. When an IBM executive lost $10 million and offered his resignation, founder Tom Watson replied, "We've just spent $10 million educating you." Carol Dweck's research shows children praised for effort rather than innate ability perform better and view mistakes as learning opportunities. Those praised for natural ability become defensive about mistakes and lose interest when challenged. For those who've made grave mistakes, redemption comes through confronting them. Eric Fair, a former Abu Ghraib interrogator, refuses to let his actions be forgotten. He separates his behavior from his identity while accepting responsibility. True self-compassion isn't about forgetting harmful actions or rationalizing. It's understanding that who we are includes what we've done, but also transcends it. Moving forward requires confronting our mistakes rather than justifying them.